Let's begin with our first point this morning. Amen. Unto you first. Acts 3 and 26. Unto you first, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turn away every one of you from his iniquities. Saints, this verse is all about Jesus. And if you even go back to verse 25, you'll see, amen. And me and Parker was talking about this, that this verse is all about the Messiah. In thy seed, Abraham, with all the kindreds and nations of the earth be blessed, is about the Messiah, for he's the chosen seed. And it goes on in 26, corroborating that. Peter is telling the Hebrews that God sent Jesus unto you first. He sent Jesus first to the Hebrews. And the reason was to bless the Hebrews. And the reason, the way he wanted to bless us was to turn us away from our sins. We have always imagined ourselves as the outsiders of this promise. We've always imagined ourselves as the add-ons, as the ones engrafted. We've always imagined ourselves like the Syrophoenician woman who came for a healing, but Jesus said, listen, I'm not sent, amen. I've only come for the lost sheep of Israel. I will not give the children's bread to dogs. And because of improper theology, we have always considered ourselves as the dogs. Hey, come on, somebody. And the thing about it is, Iola, I love my Savior so much. I didn't mind being a dog for my Savior. He can call me and I'm going to wag my tail. It don't matter because he's just that good. But when you get the revelation of the true biblical Hebrews, you understand that you're not the dog under the master's table. But you understand, hey, God, that you're one of the children. And children, hey, God, children. You got promises. You got, whoo, you got benefits. You got love. You see what I'm saying? I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but. And she said, Lord, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall for the master's table. I was all right with the crumbs. You see? But the reality was that we were the ones given the promises. We were the ones given the oracles. And we were the ones that he was talking about when he says healing is the children's bread. It's going to change your approach to the Bible. It's going to change your prayer life. It's going to change the way you go to your God. You see? Not only, hallelujah, Jesus sent, or Jesus was sent for us, amen, but we rejected him. And as the Hebrews, we not only have to own up to the fact that he was sent to us, but to the fact that we were the ones that rejected him. We were the ones who chose Rome over our Messiah. Who said, we have no king but Caesar. Oh, somebody got to hear me up in here. And that's why we're in the position we're in right now. He says he was sent first to you, but you rejected him. Amen. Salvation was able to get out to the rest of the world. But you went, hallelujah, as though it was, into exile. Cursed. You know? But I was reading the prodigal son just the other day. And the story came to light, James Malvoon. And in Luke 15, 16, it reminded me of us. How we made the wrong decision, but in the end, we coming back home. Anybody hear me up in here? The prodigal, the Bible says that he was so hungry, he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. He was so hungry in the far country that he was about to eat the pig slop. So broke, so busted, so messed up. In verse 17, look what he says. And when he came to himself, somebody say came to himself. How many people know that we're living in a day where the Hebrews are about to come to themselves? Oh, my goodness. You got to hear me up in here. He said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare and not perish with hunger? Verse 18, I will arise. Somebody say, I will arise. I will Say it again. I will arise. I will arise and go to my father, the prodigal said. Hebrews going back to the father. And will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. Now listen, remember we talked about confession on Tuesday and repentance. Look at this. He never said somebody else did wrong. He said, I. And then he says, I have sinned. And then he says, I have sinned against heaven. Woo! He's putting sin, he's putting who the fault, who we actually sin against, heaven. But he's also dealing with, hallelujah, some confession he didn't made on earth. I've sinned against heaven and before thee. And for the Hebrews to come back, y'all, we have to have a national confession and repentance. I know we had a million man march, but we need a 42 million man repentance and confession unto our God. Not go to Washington for a show, but go to Washington to return back to the Father and say, I've sinned. Oh, man, come on, somebody. Woo! 19. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Somebody say, his father saw him. How many people know that the Father can see when we're making our way to him? We're not even there yet. We not even where we're supposed to be, but he can see our hearts turning the right way. His father saw him, not just before he got there, but a great ways off. And look what the Father does when he see his people coming back to him. He had compassion on him. And when you was walking to the Father, look what the Father began to do towards you. He began to run. Woo! He begins to run towards you. Fell on his neck and kissed him. That's what's going on right now in the heavens and in the spiritual. Verse 21, and the Son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Father said to his servants, don't listen to him. Bring forth what? The best robe. And put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. And shoes back on his feet. Bring him to the place where he was before he fell, before he denied, before he refused. If the casting away of them be the salvation of the world, what more will be the restoration of them? Did you guess the revelation? That we're going to be not only brought back, but restored completely. Bring the best robe. Bring the... And bring hither the fatted calf. Kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, like the lost tribes of Israel, and is found. And they began to be merry. Come on, give God some glory for that. Amen. Unto you first. Now, I want to tell you something in this point, saints. Amen. Something else. Jesus was not only sent to the Hebrews, but God has impressed upon my heart to tell you that Jesus himself was a Hebrew. All right? We gotta talk about it. I can't go around it and play with it. All right? We got to talk about it. Now, this is going to hurt some people. Both black, white, and everybody. Everybody going to be hurt by this. Everybody going to be hurt. And you'd be surprised, but black people can't receive it. And that's just how brainwashed you've been. That's just how hoodwinked you've been. Now, the Bible could say it, the history could say it, the geography. Look, we're going to go through it all. It all could say it. And even after I show you and tell you, you're still not going to be able to get out of your mind the Jesus that you always saw. And let me tell you, it's all right because I can't get out of my mind either. I was just talking to the man, and the man was like, Pastor, but what's going on? I said, man, don't worry about it. You know how long this been going on? But hopefully, if we keep preaching and teaching the truth, that if we can't see it right, maybe our children going to see it right, and maybe our children's children. Man. And listen, as we go through this, remember, it's not a race thing. You're going to even see through this that we got good brothers and sisters, black and white, Latino. No. This is wicked men. Wicked men and women of every nationality that hide the truth, suppress the truth. You see? It's not a race thing. Not a race thing. They got folk on every side coming out now. White folk coming out now. Look, insisting Jesus was white is bad history and is bad theology. White folk coming out. Yeah, and this ain't a racial thing. It's a truth thing. All right? All right? Now, some of you, like I said, you ain't going to be able to receive this. You're not going to be able to pitch it. It's okay. But you still need to know it. If Jesus was a Hebrew, and the Hebrews were often mistaken as Egyptians, and the Egyptians were black. Let me say it now for you. That means that Jesus, the Hebrew, was black. I'm going to say it. Look how you. Ooh. You felt that inside of you? Did you feel that inside of you? That's called a lie that has taken root. That's taken root. Oh, when we done, listen. You're going to see a pattern of behavior by the time I'm done with. You see, in court, Ms. Chantel, what we like to do when we put the witness on stand, we try to show a pattern of behavior. Because if I can see a pattern of behavior, I don't have to see B. I know A, C, D, E, F. I see the pattern. And when I see the pattern, I can, hey, God, assume that the B is there because I see the pattern. If you always was a liar, then when you told me something that... About to show you a pattern, man. Woo! My God! And it's going to hurt you. You ain't going to want to see it that way. Even though the Bible said, even though his, you ain't going to want to see it that way. But you got to renew your mind. You got to renew your mind. This is, woo! My God. Now listen, I'm going to say this over and over again too. The color of Christ don't matter for salvation. It don't matter for salvation. You can picture Christ as an Oriental, a Chinese, and you can fall down on your knees, amen, and you could picture him as a Chinese and call upon him. And that's how deep our God is. He's not concerned with visages and nationalities, all right, for salvation. He's concerned with his onama, his person, all right? So while it's not important for salvation, it is important for truth, for proper history, to understand where you come from. It'd be like this, Miss Karen, because a lot of folk going to come tell you, and even in ourselves, it really don't matter. Well, if it really don't matter, why did you paint him white? That's number one. All right? And that just came out of me. Number two, all right, then why don't we just make George Washington black? All right? Why don't we just make him black? Now, any historian will say, okay, it really don't matter if George Washington's white or black, but to get a proper historical account, to get truth, it matters. You understand what I'm saying? So that's all I'm saying, Mel, and that's all I'm saying, Ms. Chantel. It don't matter for salvation. But it matters for a proper historical account, and it matters for your history, especially the history of the Hebrew people, because I'm going to show you it started there, but it continued in everything else. And it's the reason why we have a beaten down, broken, inferior mindset to this day. They're telling us, fix the Negro. You don't want us to fix the Negro. Because to fix the Negro, we got to tell the truth. All right? So how do we know that Jesus was a Hebrew, Jesus was black? Because the Bible tells us so. All right? If we look at Matthew 2 and 13, we're just going back to it. Hallelujah. Our familiar scripture, Matthew 2 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Sound boot. Y'all can just get that scripture from me up. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother. And listen, where he's going? Flee to Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Once again, you can't hide a white baby in a black Egypt. I'm just saying. Let's just, you see, because we see the scripture, but we've been so brainwashed that we're not even using proper deduction, proper reason, proper logic. You've been lied to so long, you could see it written down and still not believe it. You know what I'm saying? You can't hide a white baby in a black Egypt. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? You just can't do that. That's like me and Chantel. One of our first real solid churches we went to was an all-white church. And we went in there and we sat up in there, amen, like that. And that's where I learned how to really break down the word, amen. And I stayed there because race don't matter to me. You see what I'm saying? But when people walked in and saw them two Negroes sitting up in there, they immediately, I'm talking about a little crowd this big, they could see the Negro. Oh, we got some visitors this Sunday. You know what I'm trying to say. How you going to hide an Oreo in a glass of milk? You can't. Now flip it. How you gonna hide a white baby in a black Egypt? He'd have done better, told him go north. Now he say flee into Egypt. Let me give you another one now. Revelations chapter 1, verse 14. We know it. We suppress it. And we brainwashed. And I'm gonna show you here in a second that every day of your life suppresses this truth. Every day of your life. Until you unplug yourself off the system. You got to unplug yourself off the system. Every day, you're going to beat this thing out of your mind. You got to unplug yourself off the system. The Bible says in Revelations 1:14, his head and his hairs were what? White like wool and as white as snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire. Brent, I put a website up there. I don't know if you can get it. If you can't get it, fine. Oh, that's my dude right there. Yeah, boy. I'm telling you, boy. That, ooh, Jesus. This right here, saints, is a textual analysis of the Greek. And what you have here is the scripture and all the Greek words of that scripture coming down. All right? It's important. Because even in the King James, it's written incorrectly. It's written incorrectly. When you go back to the Greek, look, you can read it. The English is on this side. Hallelujah. And I'm going to show you. The English is right here. Hallelujah. Oh, boy, Brent's showing off now, boy. I'm telling you now. That dude there, boy. He's doing all that from his iPhone, yeah. I'm joking. So listen. Look at the English. Y'all saw it on this side. Look at the English. And the Greek correlating words are right on the side. And the head of him and his hairs were white, as if wool, white as snow. All right? It reads a little different in the King James because it says that his head and his hairs were white like wool. You see what I'm saying? It says white like wool. But the original says his hairs were white, comma. As if wool, comma, white as snow. That's a big difference. It's a big difference. You see, because the wool describes And the snow describes the white. But you wouldn't see that. You wouldn't see that, you know, because as you translate, you could do different things with commas and stuff like that. You see, but when you go back to the original Greek, you could see it clearly. You see what I'm saying? His whole head was covered with white, but his hair was like wool. And the white was white as snow. Now, you know what wool looked like? Come on, I got a picture of a lamb. I really don't need a lamb. Jakar, come show me what wool. I'm joking. Look, that's wool. That's wool. All right? Let me give you another one. Listen, man, I'm going all the way with this. When I'm done, you're going to understand. And listen, we're going to get back to something else next Sunday, but I'm going all the way with it. I'm all in heaven. It ain't black liberation. It ain't black liberation theology. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. Taking nothing from the cross of Christ. Now, look at Revelations 1 and 15. Not only his hair, but look at his feet. Sad to say, I wouldn't even qualify for feet that color. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now, let me show you what it's really, you know, they really translated bronze. But bronze and brass is really the same thing. Brass is a mixture of zinc and copper, and bronze is a mixture of tin and copper. It's really the same thing. And when you see them out there, amen, you could confuse the two of them. Amen. The balling point is right up on the same. Anyway, let me show you bronze. That's bronze. They say his feet was like bronze. Man, what kind of feet that is? Man, bro, take off your shoes, man. Let me see your bronze, baby. His feet was like bronze. Now, I done showed you now, going into Egypt, and I done showed you a description coming out of Revelations. Amen. Now, let me just give you a little tidbit of information. Amen. And Brent, you could be queuing up my video right here, but don't put it on just yet, but just kind of get ready for it, and I'm going to buy you some time. Now, geographically speaking, we believe that Israel is in the Middle East. But you know that term Middle East did not come into play until the 20th century? It wasn't called the Middle East, no. It was called Africa. It was called Northeast Africa. That's what it was called. And when you look at it on a map, you can see why. And it's all one tectonic plate out there. Now, you can cut a man-made Suez Canal, but that don't separate it. You know what I'm saying? Brent, why are you getting that ready? Can you do two things at one time? Put me up that map. Yeah! That boy showing off today, boy. Boy, if we were saved by work, you'd be getting it. But we saved by Jesus. All right? So look here. Amen. Look where Israel is. Look right here. Look how close to Africa that is. No, it ain't close to Africa. It is Africa. And there was a time when that was just all Africa. It's just a little slice. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is. Hallelujah. I'm going to show y'all on this side. Y'all ready? I'm walking on this side too. All right. How many people see it already? But look at it right here. I'm a little short, but it's right there. Look at that. You know what I'm saying? That's Africa, man. And not only is it in Africa geographically, but you know what I'm saying? Speaking in terms of climate, it's hot in Africa. It's hot in Israel. In fact, remember I told you that the current Jews have the second highest rate of skin cancer. Second highest rate. It's because naturally they're in a place that they really don't belong. All right? Now, let me tell you who have the first, the first of percentage of skin cancer? Australia. If you know anything about Australian history, there's a people that the Australians pretty much kicked out and limited to what we call the outback. You go eat there all the time. Don't know what it means. Amen. All right. Anybody know the name of that dark-skinned people that was originally? The who? Aborigines. Oh, you're a smart fella. Aborigines. That was their original land. Europeans came, kicked them out, Kenneth. Amen. Now, they living in Australia. Number one in cancer. Skin cancer. Israel, number two. You see how God leave little clues? Bible, geography, climate, you know? Let's look at history. History from an archaeological standpoint. Do you know that the first pictures of Christ, the oldest ones, what you think they came out as? Black. I don't mean pictures like Polaroid. I mean depictions and paintings. Brent, let's go ahead and show some of the mosaics, amen, of, look at that. Now, that's called the Black Madonna, you know? And you would say, man, that's in Africa. That ain't Africa. That's in Europe. And you'll see the Pope bowing down before that thing. It's one of the oldest pics of Mary and Jesus. Come on, give me another one. Holly, that's another Black Madonna. You see what I'm saying? Look at her. That's in France. You say, oh, that's only, yeah, it's going to be in Africa. Yeah, they're going to make her black. No, that's in France. Give me another one. Look at this fella here. Now, it's a bunch of brothers, huh? They say, what Jesus doing? He about to be jumped? No, he not about to be jumped. Well, if I tell you that Jesus was black, that mean that his apostles were black as well. Remember the scriptures. Judas had to kiss him as a sign to show which one he was. You understand what I'm saying? All right? So if he was Caucasian, if he was European, Judas would have just went to the Pharisees and said, look, he's the only white guy in the midst of it. Go and grab him. You see? No. They was all. Now, and this depiction is actually the oldest depiction of Christ. Even older than the ones in Rome. And that one happens to be in Africa, in Cairo, in Egypt. Amen. But it don't make that as wrong because they got other things, other forms of evidence as well. Brent, do we have another one? Amen. Look at that. Look at that brother with the afro. That's a depiction of Christ. And then I guess when his dreads grew a little longer, that's another depiction. I'm clowning. And then that's Mary right here. All right. Brent, we got another one, Brent, or that's it? Yeah. Brent, pulling the mic. The one at the upper right-hand corner, that's the man right there. Archaeology, you know what I'm saying? Archaeology. You know, but we've been knowing this, and they've been dropping us clues about this. Amen. Brent, if you're ready for it, baby, come on. Take me to my clip. Y'all gonna remember this. We've been knowing.
Symbol of Jesus.
Well, hello, Symbol. And goodbye.
JJ painted him.
Don't fangle me, Michael. I had him in the closet where he wasn't performing no miracles for nobody.
Mama, couldn't we at least let Black Jesus hang alongside?
Forget it. The only Jesus I know is him. And the one thing he don't need is a partner. Let's wash out both of you. This picture has been in my family for as long as I can remember. When I was a baby, I don't know what I saw first. My mama, my papa, or this Jesus. Now, he's the one I know and love, so let's close the subject. Jesus was black. The Bible would have said so.
But it does say so.
What are you talking about?
I read about it. It's in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. It says, his hair is like wool, and his eyes are like flame of fire.
Well, Lord, have mercy. You sure do say that, don't it?
And see, Mama, look at her hair, like wool, ain't it? And look at her eyes, red like fire.
Yeah, they sure
are. How do we know Jesus wasn't black? He could have been from the lost tribe of Israel. They were supposed to be black.
I bet they were. If ever people were lost, we're it. If ever people were lost, we're it.
Come on, give God some glory, amen. We've been knowing and people have been knowing it, amen, but it's a difference when you have a revelation of it. So listen, I present this truth to you. Let's move on to our second point, amen. Sent him to bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sent him to bless you. Acts 3:26, unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. You see, Jesus was not only sent to the Hebrews first, but he was sent to the Hebrews to bless them. You see, to bless them. And we rejected him, and a lot of us are coming back to him, amen, in these last days as a regathering of biblical Israel. We know that the Messiah is returning. Sadly, we're living in a day where a lot of Hebrew brothers, a lot of Negroes, amen, along with other races, are no longer receiving the Jesus that you saw depicted with the blue eyes and the blonde hair. Amen. And I'm just being real with you. And they're not receiving that visage of Jesus, amen, because, number one, it's not the truth, and number two, because of wicked men. Amen, because of wicked men. Let's just be real. Amen. Because of things like slavery, oppression, racism, wars, amen, for acquisition, colonialization, for oil, for money, amen. All of this set up by the Ashkenazi Jews because they were the money behind it. They were the ones with the protocols pushing the agenda, amen. But what happened was, amen, what people of color began to see when they looked at the European Jesus, they didn't see a savior, they saw the oppressor. Oh, you got to hear me up in here. And they're wondering why churches are dwindling. They're wondering why, amen, when they go overseas and such, amen, in different places where you have people of color, amen, they're not receiving Christianity like they used to receive it. Even when you walk in the hood, you understand what I'm saying? You hear me, kid? Even when you walk in the hood, a brother be quick to tell you, amen, I'm not receiving, and excuse me, I'm just going to say it. Can I just say it? I'm not receiving, this is what they say, the white man's religion. I'm not reading out this white man's Bible, and I'm not accepting the white man's Savior. That's what they say. And I done ran across them. I done ran across them. You see? And a lot of the times, I'm going to tell you what's going on. They going to Islam. They're going to Islam. Now, let me tell you how foolish that is. Number one, because it's not a white man's savior. All right? He the savior of the world, no matter what color he is. That's number one. But the idiotic thing about it is that number two, you're running from a savior that really looked like you when you put the history, the geography, and the Bible behind it. You're running from a Bible that was written through the power of the Holy Spirit, from people that look like you. You're running from a Bible that's your history. Well, look how the devil's slick, huh, James? He done got you believing your history was somebody else's history. Your Savior was somebody else's Savior and got you running from him. And you run from your Savior, your history, your Messiah, and you go run to the Arab book. The Arab Savior. You leave something that was for you unto you first to go to something that wasn't for you at all. Oh, I know y'all don't want to clap for it, but I'm going to tell the truth. And besides the Ashkenazis, you know who some of the biggest slave traders were? The Arabs. They the one taught the Europeans the value of having black slaves. Go look it up. But the ball put that thing on their head, they go run out, amen, and they go, amen, and read a Quran that okays enslaving the Negro. And they won't come tell me about my Caucasian book. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Look at that. Preaching my microphone off. All right, let's get to some evidence now. Let's look at it. Where did we get this false image of Jesus from? Like I said, we got white brothers and sisters that's coming out saying, like, saying, look, this thing is true. Come back here, microphone. I'm not done with you yet. Hallelujah. All right. So where did we get this false image of Jesus from? Well, we got it from the Catholic Church. Well, I'm talking about everybody else. Might as well throw them in it, too. We got it from the Catholic Church, specifically from Pope Alexander VI. I got a picture of him, too. Amen. Sarah Bradford, in her book, Cesare Borgia, she wrote about Alexander VI's family. And it's not fiction, it's a biography. And she talks about the Pope and how he had an illegitimate son. And I thought popes wasn't supposed to have children, wasn't supposed to be married. But he had a bunch of children from a bunch of different women. And one of his sons, his favorite son, was a man by the name of Cesare Borgia. And he made Leonardo da Vinci paint a picture of Jesus using his son as the model. And you can go look this up. It's all historical. You can go get her book. It's all historical. Amen. And there's some similarities there. Amen. Now, this dude, Cesare Borgia, he was a reprobate. He was a homosexual. He had a whole bunch of mistresses. And he was even thought to have killed his own brother, and some other things I can't even say. They use him, one of the most reprobate men, as a model to change Jesus from biblical Hebrew to Caucasian, blonde hair, blue eyes, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. Now, you would know that if you went in that part of the world during biblical days, you wouldn't have found nobody blonde hair and blue eyes. The climate wouldn't even allow them to live there, you know. But Da Vinci did it. And Da Vinci not only did that picture, but he made all Christianity white. You know? Even in the Sistine Chapel, they got a white God reaching out his hand to a white Adam. But if you understand science and biology, you know that Adam couldn't have been white. I'm going to stop right there. Black is the dominant gene. You know what I'm saying, Miss Karen? You can get white from black, but you could never get. That's why in England, when the woman showed up and she had a black baby, you know what's going on. But you got stuff that's still happening today where two black couples, I'm talking about charcoal, you know what I'm saying? And look, anomaly, they have a white child, blue eye. Go look it up. It's all about dominant and recessive genes. But he there's a phrase for it. He whitewashed Christianity. And there's no wonder that's what the Catholic Church has been doing. They put images and pictures right over things. That's what they did with their false gods. They took them and they put the saints right over that. You understand what I'm saying? And then they said, well, listen, let's go ahead and bleach the saints. And they put the saints white. Oh, man, I'm going, man. I'm all the way. You see? I'm all the way. So they changed Jesus. They not only changed Jesus, but they changed his name. Because you know his original Hebrew name is Yahshua. You understand? Now, I'm not saying we got to go get tattoos of Yahshua and we got to be praying up here in Yahshua's name. Remember, God is not into you knowing Hebrew to pray to him. God is into you knowing his onama. Because you could know Yahshua but not know who he is and that he's the Savior. And that you could know the Hebrew but not be born again. He could still save you through the translation of Yahshua into Jesus. But let me just say this. the translation was important to him, Daniel, because that don't look like a Yahshua. Just like Julia Roberts don't look like Shaquita or Lakeisha. I'm tripping, Untree. Listen, but they had to change it. Oh, man, you got it. Man, come on, man. I'm tripping. Man, you done said, they just said, look at Yahshua. You done laughed, y'all. But they put Jesus. You see? And me, I still pray in Jesus' name. I lay hands, he healed in Jesus' name. I got saved in Jesus' name. I was delivered in Jesus' name. That's power in the name of Jesus. In the onama of Jesus. We ain't going back like the mother boys with the outfits and speaking Hebrew, Big Brother Ben and all of this. That's foolery. You see? We've been delivered from the law. You see, the devil tried to change his name and his appearance. And he said, devil, you a liar. I'm bigger than an appearance and I'm bigger than a name. You thought that changing my name would somehow stop people from coming to me. Listen, you call me what you want. There's one that died on the cross, one that was buried in the grave, and one that rose the third day. You get the facts right, you can call him what you want. And he's going to still save you. Come on, give him glory. Come on. My mic falling apart, boy, the devil don't want me to get through there. Now let me show you the pattern now. Let's talk about Hollywood for a second. Because the church started it, but Hollywood perpetuated the lie. Ooh, my goodness. My goodness. Now, I was up late at night doing this, so my pictures might be off. Amen. I'm still under a little sleep deprivation even as we speak. But that's how important this thing is. You see? Hollywood took the Da Vinci and made all the actors that played Jesus, made them white, baby. Made them white, Snow White. You understand what I'm saying? I got some pics of our past Jesus that we've seen. Amen. And just like Florida. No, that's not Jesus. That's Moses. I told y'all it was late. I told y'all it was late. Yeah, there we go. You see, and that's what we grew up on. Now, you grew up on that, and for me to come with that information like that, you can't receive it. Because like Florida, all you've seen is this. And I'm going to show you some other ways that they got you. You know what I'm saying? Flip through. Brent, let me see another one on the board. Yeah, that one that looked like Brad Pitt. Y'all was all singing with that ball. I forgot that little song. I wish I knew that song on the soundtrack. I'd sing it right now. I can't remember. But listen. Oh, yeah, we was all tripping, man. We was all tripping. But if you know your scriptures, when they talk about Jesus, they say that he wouldn't come with a form of comeliness and handsomeness. He would have nothing about him on the outside that would make us want to be with him. His treasure would be on the inside. That. What else you got up there, Brent? That's it? So Hollywood made Jesus white. They perpetuated the lie. And every time we saw Jesus, we saw him on our TV, he looked like that. Not only did they make all the images of Jesus, they made all the patriarchs white as well. Yeah, show me that Moses. Show me that Moses you had, that Charlton Heston. Check him out like that. They had another one in Egypt garb. Did you get that one, Brent? We're going to laugh at that one if you got that one. Don't worry about it. If we ain't got it, that's good. All right. All right. So this is what Hollywood did. But Hollywood went a step further. They not only made the Savior white, but they made every other hero and every other Savior with a small s European as well. It's a mind thing. And we're going to set you free this morning. All right? So our little boys turn on the cartoon, or our little girls turn on the cartoon, or we go watch the latest Marvel, the latest, amen, movie, and who we going to see? Brent, show me them ball. Show me them ball. Show me them ball. Come on, Brent. Hey! Superman. Come on, show me another one, Brent. Hey, Iron Man. Brent, you got another one? Come on, excite me. Hey, The Last Samurai. In China. No, no, in Japan. But a white man. Look. Now, most of the time, you're going to turn on your TV. The main character, the hero, or the heroness is white. Now, wait now. What that's going to do to you now? What that's going to do to you? Now, every time we go to Disney and my little girls turn on the TV and they see snow and they, and all the rest of them. Now, what is that doing when they turn on? Now, Disney finally threw us a bone and gave us Tiana. You understand what I'm saying? I was so happy for Tiana. Thank you, Lord, for Tiana. Boy, we went to Disney World. Boy, we waited in line for Tiana. Boy, we ain't going nowhere till we see Tiana. And she better be brown. Don't come around here looking like me or like Amigo or, you know what I mean, Miss Jen. No, we want a brown. But even as they gave us Tiana, Tiana is a restaurant owner in the hood, and she got a broke prince. She the one that got to make the money. Oh, that's a message, huh? Oh, black man don't do nothing but stay home. Man, I'm trying to tell you, man. Somebody say brainwash. Let me tell you what effect that's going to have. It's a classical condition. That every time trouble come, a European got to fix it. A European got to be the hero. This is TV and it's brainwashing. Because the reality of the matter and true history don't reflect this. But if you take a people and sit them down in front of a false prophet TV from a child and they watch all the heroes, all the princesses, all the stars of the show, hallelujah, all of them European, and at the end of the movie, they get the European woman ride on their horse into the sunset, and you wonder why people can't ever do something for themselves, can't ever effectuate change for themselves. Listen, what you said before somebody, don't be surprised when they become what you said before them. Hey, God. For as a man thinketh, but you're telling me what to think about myself. My Savior, not me. And every other hero on TV, not me. Oh, we're going to get deeper than that. Oh, y'all got a little time? Come on, man. So the black man grows up and says, I can't really effectuate change. If I'm in trouble, I'm going to have to find me a hero. And if I ever do arise to the place of success, I will not, amen, don't be offended when I say this, I will not really be successful until, just like the movies, the black man seeing himself on TV as second class and European as first class looks for a European to be the hero, but also measures if he's successful. If at the end of his life he can ride off into the sunset, just like the European with the European woman. Some of y'all brothers got lust problems. You're stuck on pornography. You're not happy with your sister at home because you've been brainwashed into something that you think is better that's really not better. It's all the same thing. I'm not trying to say one is better than the other one. It's all the same thing. I had a white brother tell me, Pastor Omar, two pastors, me and him talking. He said, why are the brothers always after the European women? And at that time, I didn't have the answer. I went back way into the 1500s, 1600s, talked about slavery and the house, Negro, oh, everything. When the answer was sitting in my living room, TV. Think about that for a second. Somebody said it, brainwash. And listen. I'm not trying to say one is better than the other one. I'm trying to say it's the same. I'm going to show you in a second real history how we had Europeans that effectuated great change. But we've also had Negroes and blacks that effectuated great change. The problem is we never heard about it. We never heard about the blacks. All right, now here's another one. Oh, we got to move, y'all. Not only did they make our Savior white and all the other saviors, and you just sit your kid in front of that TV, but you don't know what it's doing to their self-esteem. That's why you hear your children say, now white kids don't go through this, and white parents, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You think I'm from another planet because this experience is not your experience. But when you got to sit home with a black child that's upset that God made them black and they were wishing that they were white, you would understand what I'm talking about. Because white people like, wish you was white. What's wrong with you? But you don't understand the experience. All right? I told you it was going to be racial, y'all. But I'm telling the truth. All right, so they made our Savior white, every other hero and saviors white. This is the third thing they did. The characters that were of color, that effectuated change, that actually did something great in history, Hollywood took those people and didn't cast them with black people or Puerto Rican people or Chinese people. We read in history when you can find them that they was people in color, but when we turn on the TV, they white. Let me show you. Genghis Khan, Mongolian, Oriental, played by John Wayne. That's not John Wayne. That was Genghis Khan. Now why you couldn't find an Oriental boy to play that? Because you don't want to show that Orientals could be the star too? No, it ain't just money. It's a message. It ain't just money. It's a message. You forget who owned the TV and the media. They had an Oriental, hallelujah, on another movie. Mickey Rooney, hallelujah, is the next pick, Brent. Instead of getting an Oriental, Mickey Rooney put buck teeth in his mind. He put a glass on. That's a white boy. Playing Oriental. Just get an Oriental guy. West Side Story. It's an old movie. A lady was playing Maria, who was a Puerto Rican. He put her as a white woman. Played Cleopatra as a white woman. Johnny Depp playing an Indian. Tonto. That's a white boy now. And y'all already familiar with Tom Cruise, The Last Samurai. I'm showing you a pattern of replacement. Now let's use logic, Kenneth. If they still replacing now, go back to church history. Is it a stretch to say that they would replace him back then? No. I'm showing you a pattern. You know what I'm saying? Hollywood went deeper. Not only would the Savior, with a capital S, be white. Not only, amen, would the Saviors and the heroes with a small S be white. Not only would they change the people of color that did stuff to white actors. Number four, the Negro, when he was on TV, became the fool. The Negro became the fool. You see? Mr. Bojangles. The clown. The one that'll make you laugh, but you can't count on him to save the day. He always gonna say the wrong thing. He may even be a traitor in the movie. He's rarely the hero and the first one to die. Somebody say brainwash. Now, what you think that's going to do for little black kids and white kids growing up on that? All right? For the black kid, I'm always playing second fiddle, and I'm never the main character. I can't affect meaningful change. For the white kid, Negroes are good to clown with you and entertain you, but if you put the ball in a Negro hand in the last second, he's going to let you down. You better save the day. And then there's talk about how black lives don't matter. You know? And I wonder why black lives don't matter. When on TV, we the first one to die, but the movie keep going. Oh, you don't hear me, though. 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 And then you know, to rebut black lives don't matter, they say, but yeah, but abortion, y'all aborting y'all babies. I'm going to get to abortion Tuesday. Don't worry about that. Just because we abort don't mean you can kill us in the streets. That's two mutually exclusive things. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Don't worry about it. Let me show you a picture of Richard Pryor. Let me tell you. Look, Richard Pryor and Superman. Come on, Brent. You can't save the day. You need to be saved. Hollywood took it a step further. When they put the Negro in the movie, he was not only the fool, but they put the worst of us up front. Gangster rap, drug dealers, harlots, and strippers on TV before our children. If they're doing anything good, it's going to be an athlete, but an athlete with no home training. What does this tell the young black man? You can be a drug dealer. The young black girl, you could be a harlot taking off your clothes on TV like Beyonce. Or you could be an athlete, but that's about all you can do. It's about all you can do. I'm showing you a pattern. All right? What'd that teach the white little kids? They're going to be a drug dealer, an athlete, or a street woman. Hold your purse when they pass. Lock your door when they come by. Come back here, Michael. I ain't done. Let me tell you, they took it a step further. We ain't done just yet. Hollywood took it. We're coming all the way from the church into the modern day. The Negro was the fool, the gangster, the drug dealer. And then Hollywood ridiculed the idea of a black Jesus. You see, when you know the truth about something, you can hide it by making it ridiculous. Let me show you the pic of black Jesus up here. They just put out a movie. Oh, yeah. They put it on all our little rap stuff. Amen. They got Kanye West. And keep going, Brent. Keep going. That's the ridicule. That's the play. There you go. Black Jesus smoking weed, giving out 40s. But that's a demonic mind game to make it ridiculous so that when I bring it up in church, you want to get up and leave and say that can't be because you've been brainwashed. Because you've been brainwashed. Mm-hmm. All right. Now let me tell you how he took it a step further, Minister Doug. Reinforced everything that the TV said in school. How did y'all know that? In school. Oh, it was up there? Oh, all right. I was going to say. You prophet, girl. Reinforce everything they said in school. So when we go to school, we learn about Greece. We learn about Rome. We learn about Columbus. We learn about George Washington. But we never learn about Egypt, Ethiopia, and Negro land, which was equally or sometimes even more advanced than our European counterparts. We learn about Paul Revere, but we don't learn about Wentworth Chesterfield, who while Revere rode west to warn the British are coming. That's the one. You know? Wentworth went north. And guess who actually came back with people to help? Wentworth. But all we read about is Paul Revere. We read about Columbus, but we don't read about how Africans was already in South America. The pyramids proved that. They never tell you that. They whitewashed all of our media and whitewashed all of our education. And it's not a race thing. It's wicked men did. Wicked men, because we got good white brothers and sisters who coming out and saying, this ain't right. You know? Fight on, Pastor. Fight on. We never hear about, we hear about George Washington, but we don't hear about James Olmsted, who they say was the real hero of the American Revolution, who won the war. We don't hear about Prince Estabrook and Peter Salem. And Brent, go ahead and get that other video ready, and I'm going to show y'all this one right quick. Let me see that, Brent. Yeah, that's it. Come on, Brent. Get that play button. Yep. That's really bad for Fox.
Hello, America, and welcome to another Founders Friday.
Move it up about a minute.
Somebody asked me just before we went on the air how these shows are being rated. And I have to tell you, we don't think anybody would watch. We
thought,
we'll give this a whirl, see if everybody wants to watch it. They're wildly hot.
Oh, no, Brent, not turn it off. Go tell about a minute, Brent. Go tell about a minute on it. We need to use our time wisely. But I'm not going to leave because it's super important. Well, now you're cooking in grease. Now you give me some sound, I'm going to buy you lunch.
Ends and they're not. But that's it. Not a lot of racial diversity. If you watch movies, what a great, great this is John Adams. You go watch John Adams and you don't see a lot of racial diversity. I'm currently watching Johnny Tremaine. I love this movie. I remember this growing up. I was watching with my kids just last night, and I noticed there are a couple of American Indians. You don't see any African Americans unless they're slaves. They will show people as slaves, but that's it. Now, I want to show you a painting of the Battle of Bunker Hill. Here's the Battle of Bunker Hill. Bunch of white guys, right? Unless you know where to look. Right here. That's Peter Salem. He was actually the hero of the battle. It doesn't look like he's a hero there. It looks like he's cowering behind a white guy with a sword. He was the hero of the battle. And he saved scores of American lives that day. Why don't we know this? Look at the picture of the Battle of Lexington. 150 Americans. There it is. Do you see any faces of color in this painting? They were all members of the Reverend Jonas Clark's church. They went out. They were actually, if I'm not mistaken, David, they were in church at the time, right?
He called them together at church,
okay.
Yes.
So we called together at church and then said, let's go. And they went to defend their town. When the shock heard around the world was over that day, there were 18 Americans lying on the ground. What you don't see in this painting, the number of whites and blacks. They were white and black patriots. It was a mixed church. Did you even know that happened? One of those injured patriots on the ground in this painting was a black man named Prince Estabrook. I bet you never heard of Prince Estabrook before. The painting of George Washington crossing the Delaware. Bunch of white guys, right? No. Look here. African American helping row the boat across. You know what his name was? Prince Whipple. He fought alongside Washington during the Revolution. Take a look at this one. This painting of, this is the Marquis de Lafayette. He, if you look at this, you just think, oh yeah, and then he made his slave dress up like I don't know what. But that's what you would think, right? This guy is incredibly important. This guy may have won the Revolutionary War. James Armistead was his name. How did he win the Revolutionary War? Double spy. I'm going to let David tell the story here in a minute, but basically the Brits thought that he was spying for them, but he was spying for General Washington. He'd give the Brits bad intel and reveal the good critical information to General Washington. Did you know this story? Why? I'm so tired of people saying, well, it was just the white people, white people, white people. No! No! Why are we intentionally leaving others out? There are black founders. Let me ask the audience. How many of you can name one person?
I think that's these
pictures. Only
Hallelujah. And over and over again, Glenn Beck asked, why aren't our schools teaching this material?
That's right.
You know? But you gotta understand, we learned last week who really behind the schools, who really behind the media, who really we learned all of that. And it's not their agenda to allow the Hebrews to know who they really are. It started way back in the day. But I'm telling you, saints, that's why it's so important what we're doing here at PCA. You understand what I'm saying? That's why it's important what we're doing at PCA. Amen. Because we're raising up our people, amen, how you to know their history, not to just sit in class and think that you can't do nothing and that no ever accomplished anything, hallelujah, was your skin color. Now, we're changing all of that. You heard me? We're changing all of that. They're going to learn about it. And we're going to make it available to you. You can send them over there if you want. But don't be surprised when they get an inferiority complex and when they come and they say, Mama, why did God make me black? Why can't I be white? You see what I'm saying? That's why we have PCA. And though they won't put us in their movies, amen, listen, we're going to work hard, and we're going to strive, and we're going to get out of cameras right. We're going to make our own movies. We're going to put a black Jesus up in there, a black gold. You understand what I'm saying? You better get your ass and stuff together, man. Other churches putting out movies. You know what I'm saying? Facing the giants and whatnot. Why we can't do it? We're going to put out the truth, man. We're going to put out the truth. This thing is bigger than you, it's bigger than me, it's bigger than Philadelphia. It's about people coming back and being the people God made you to be. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to have solid white folk that's going to support us. Amen. Like Glenn Beck. Now, you got to know, Glenn Beck was fired. You can't find him on that one. He was fired. I told you about the press. You tell your honest opinion. But there's another one on that. Look up David Barden Wall Builders. He does an awesome job. A European Caucasian guy does an awesome job presenting all of the great men in American history, men and women in American history, who were people of color. Awesome Christian. Come on, give God some glory.
we all know the truth. Third and final point is going to take it in about 5 minutes and then we're going to get out. And next week you come, we should be in biblical Hebrew. If it offends you, you ain't got to worry about it. I might bring it up every night in there. Once or twice a message. But it won't be a whole series. Amen? Third point, turn everywhere. Acts 3:25. Unto you first God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. I'm going to use this point as an application point. Just focusing on this phrase, he's come, Jesus come to turn everyone away from his iniquity. I'm just going to focus on that, you know, and I want one to our brothers, amen. Our brothers who've been using race as an excuse not to come to Jesus. I want to talk to you square to your face. I want to be straight up with you. The devil has deceived you. You've been brainwashed just like the rest of them. If you think that this Bible is just Caucasian and then that picture of Jesus is a correct depiction and that's keeping you away from God, amen, you're doing just what the devil wants you to do. Amen. My word to you, man to man, is to come back to your Messiah. Come back to your Lord. Come back to your Savior. Amen. And do the research. Look and study about this book and study about who the Messiah, Yeshua, actually was. Amen. And you're going to find that this book is more Negro, more black than the Quran could ever be, than the Arab religion could ever be. And you need to come back to Christ. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. To our Caucasian brothers and sisters, amen, who may not be saved, amen, but are here, amen. Jesus came for you as well. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Sure, I'm not going to take away that the Hebrews were African, that the Hebrews were Negro, rather, amen. That's irrelevant. Hallelujah. The fact of the matter is that it don't matter what color Jesus was, amen, in regards to salvation. And I'm telling you that this information needs to get out to the Europeans, amen. The truth needs to get out to the Europeans. Because on that day when Jesus cracked the eastern sky, you better know what color he is unless you make the wrong one. Oh, come. There's a story and you can go look it up. A man was in the KKK. His son was in the hospital for a liver transplant. His son died. About 9 years old. And there's a picture of his son in his KKK outfit, even the junior KKK. But when he died in that hospital table, he was revived 5 minutes later. Go look it up. He come back and said, Daddy, I'm not going to say the word to you. He said, Daddy, I saw Jesus. He said, Daddy, Jesus is a Negro with the other word. They said, boy, you crazy. He said, Daddy, I know what I saw. And he said, heaven is full of. He said, heaven is full of. You better go look that up. Go look that up. Go look that up. But that'll never be on the news. To my white brothers and sisters, all black people are not idiots. Not fools, not cons, and not drug dealers. And all of us can't run fast and jump high. All of us not idiots. All of us not. Come out of TV land. Come out of the brainwash. You know? And think about black folk in real life. You see, because the TV land that controls the way they act is different than real life. But if you get with white folk on real life level, in real life they understand when they was in Vietnam and they had that brother on the side of them, that brother was just as capable as them. They understand at the job that that brother just as capable as them. They understand in school when that brother make it, the grade they make it or higher, that that brother is just as capable as them. They understand that. It's this TV man, it's brainwashed. They understand. You don't think George Washington understood? They understand. You just got to come out of TV land and dismiss the lie. Here's my third and last. To our Christian brothers and sisters who are Caucasian, who are white, here's a plea to you. Study the facts yourself. And some of them already doing that, and they quick to say that he wasn't white, but they'll put another, he was Arab. That's what they'll say. No. Come all the way, baby. Come all the way. And after you come all the way, amen. I need you to stop sending your support to the ones who say they're Jews and are not. All right? You've been supporting the wrong people. You've been blessing and supporting Khazarians and Ashkenazis, not biblical Hebrews. You say, Pastor, but we've been blessed to support Israel as a nation. Let me pierce back your head. You ain't been blessed. You've been told you was blessed. You ain't been blessed. America been blessed for supporting Israel. When we look at America today, and going back to the early 1900s, going back to the 1800s, you know the timeline I did. Is America really blessed for supporting the so-called Jews? When we look at our divorce rate, are we blessed? When we look at our prisons, are we blessed? When we look at our schools and the literacy rate, the dropout rate, and how men are no longer getting college degrees, are we blessed? When we look at our morality and how we got adultery and fornication and robbing and death and killing on the job and going to the schools and killing children, how we got transgenders and gays and bisexuals. Change what you are doing. You know better, do better. Reallocate your budgets. Reallocate what you dedicated to the Jews. Send it to the inner cities. Send it to black churches. Send it to the Hebrews. Watch us build. Watch us dispense with welfare. Watch us dispense with food stamps. Watch us get our men out. Christ is your only way to heaven. Resurrection. And you confess, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is your Lord. God will save you. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say with me now, say, Lord, thank you for truth. I admit
I sin
against heaven
and against earth. I believe
that you're my Savior. You died for me.
You died.
You were buried. And on the third day,
you rose.
I believe
with all my heart.
Now confess you.
Confess
as my Savior.
As my Savior.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Save my soul.
Save
my family.
Save my
community.
My
and bring back your people.
Bring back your people.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory.